they that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. You know, there are often times in our life when we experience great weakness. We will experience weakness physically. We, at times, are so exhausted physically we can't even think straight. How many of you have ever been there before? You know, just so tired. Sometimes you get to those points when you're weak physically. You wake up that morning and you don't even know what day it is. You have to ask somebody to remind you, is today Saturday? Is it Sunday? Where? What time zone am I even in? There are times in our lives where we get weak physically. There are times in our life where we get weak mentally, where we just can't think and we're not making good decisions because we're just so tired, so exhausted. And then in those moments is when it's often easy to get weak spiritually. It's easy at times when you are physically drained and mentally exhausted just to let down some guards spiritually. For example, you look at your life and maybe your daily and weekly routine. It's easy on those days that are the busiest, those days where you're most physically drained, to maybe not spend as much time in the Bible as you normally do. And you let your guard down spiritually. So those times you've had a long week and you're tired and you're mentally frustrated and emotionally you're about to go to pieces, it's those days where you don't feel like coming back out to church on Sunday night. I mean, let's just be honest. Physical weakness, mental weakness, emotional weakness, they all have an effect on us spiritually. You see, we all encounter times in our lives when we are weak, and these weaknesses are most often a result of the circumstances around us, and often the circumstances within us. Someone has said, if you look at others and be distressed, look at yourself and be depressed, but look to God and you'll be blessed. You see, I think the key to overcoming whatever weakness lies in your life and in mine in these moments of difficult circumstances, it's having a fresh reminder of who God is in our life. Because if you're facing some difficulties today, you are going to look at others and be distressed. And you might look at yourself and even more so get depressed. But when you're looking at God, you can't help but be thankful for who God is in your life and what He's done for you up to this point. If you're viewing God the way God wants you to view Him, He'll give you those strength in weak moments. He'll become that source of energy in times of weakness. And the key to it all, in these weak moments, in these difficult circumstances, in those times where we're just flat out tired, is found in our waiting on God. He says in verse 31 that they that wait upon the Lord. Now it's interesting here, the word wait, although it carries a connotation of waiting on God in the sense of just setting back and waiting for God to move, is so much more than that. The word wait here literally can be translated as the word hope. So though we understand, or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the word wait was given to us and preserved for us in the English language, and I would never criticize that at all, but it might help you better understand the word if you put the word hope in the place of the word wait and read it like this: they that hope in the Lord. When you're hoping in God, you are waiting on Him. And when you're waiting on God, you are hoping in Him. But what the Bible is trying to say to us is, in these moments of weakness, in these times of circumstances, that we need to wait on God. We need to hope in Him. It doesn't imply that we just sit around and do nothing. And I think sometimes that's what we think waiting on God is that we just find us a nice little corner somewhere and not be proactive and not try to engage ourselves in the work and the will of God. And if we just sit back and do nothing and just wait, God's going to work it all out. Listen to me. It doesn't say we get lazy, sit in a corner and do nothing, expect God to bring it all together. It's not what it means to wait on God. It means to hope in Him, to look for God, look to God for all that we need. And I want to remind you tonight that no matter how discouraged, how depressed, how weak you may feel physically, spiritually, mentally, you can have hope in God. You can trust God. You can hope in God. And you can know that God is going to be that source of encouragement, that source of strength, and He will provide for you everything you need in these moments of weakness. A lot of people talking about hope and change, aren't there? They've been talking about hope and change for 4 years, and the only change I've seen is just worse in life. If you think the answers to our problems in America today are the hope in a person, or the hope in a political party, you've got yourself fooled. Because the only thing that you and I can hope in that's going to make a difference in our lives is that we hope in God. And some of you are hurting tonight. I know you're hurting. Some of us are going through some things that have caused us to be weak spiritually and weak mentally and even weak physically. We're just exhausted about what's going on. Tired of the circumstances. I think God has something He wants to say to us tonight. And that is hope in Him. Wait on Him. Trust in Him. If you miss anything I say tonight, understand that you can hope in God. You can hope in Him. And I want to give you three things from this passage you ought to hope in about the Lord during times of weakness. Number one, I want you to hope in the greatness of God. You discouraged tonight? Hope in the greatness of God. Think your circumstances too difficult for God? I want you to hope in the greatness of the Lord. Look at verse 25. He says, "To whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things?" Listen to me tonight. Our God is great. And He is greater than anything on earth, and He is greater than anything in heaven. And when there is weakness in our life, it will do all of us good to remind ourselves that He is even greater than the circumstances that are in our life. He is greater than the health problems we are having. He is greater than the emotional stress we're dealing with. He is greater than the fight we're faced with this evening. He is greater than the family turmoil that's unfolding in front of you. I'm telling you, our God is greater. And we serve a great God who can do anything in our lives. And I'm telling you tonight, if I'm weak, if I'm struggling, I'm going to hope in the greatness of God, for He is great. I love what he said in verse 25. "To whom then will you liken me?" Who are you comparing me with? What are you liking me to? And I mentioned this briefly this morning, that sometimes in difficulties, when we try to understand God and when we try to explain Him, we try to figure out why all this isn't unfolding the way we want it to, we try to liken God to ourselves, or we try to liken Him to some other higher being in this life. Listen, God said, "You can't compare me to nobody." Think about it. All day long, all you want, there's no comparisons, there's no agendas, there's nothing that can be compared to God, and no one that can be compared to God. Listen to me, church. There is none like God. There's nobody like Him. He is so great, He cannot even be compared to. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 22 says, "Wherefore Thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like Thee, neither is there any God beside Thee." And God said, "To whom are you going to liken me to?" Quit comparing me to your situation and comparing me to things that have happened in your past. Do you understand? You're talking to the same God that hung the stars in the sky and put the moon into place. He said, "I am a great God." I'm thankful today we can hope in the greatness of God. And then look what he says in verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who's created these things? That bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, and not one faileth." Here's what God is saying to us tonight. If you ever begin to think that this world is bigger than God, or that your circumstances are beyond His control, He says, just take a look up. And when you look up and you see the stars that are rightly placed in the heaven, you'll understand that I am in control of every one of those stars. You know, there's a lot of things in life I don't understand. I love to fly. I fly all over the place. I've been all over the world, and I enjoy it. I fly Delta. I'm a Delta Sky Miles member. You say, Pastor, why do you like Delta, not U.S. Air? I like Delta because they serve Biscoff cookies. They're unbelievable. U.S. Air gives you peanuts. I pay a good amount of money for airfare. I'm at least going to get a cookie instead of some peanuts, all right? I do not understand how a plane can get in the air and fly around the world like that. I don't understand that. I don't understand the logic behind it. And people can explain it to me. I just don't understand it. I trust it. Especially when I'm 30,000 feet up in the air, you better believe I'm trusting it. It's going to do what it tells us it's going to do. But beyond the fact that you can get a big mechanical beast like that up in the air with sometimes 300, 400, 500 people inside of it, I don't understand once they get above the clouds how those coordinates can tell them where they need to go, and all of a sudden I can be in Charlotte, London in just a few hours. I don't understand that. I can't quite comprehend it. I don't understand how you can build a bridge underwater. I know some of you are probably thinking I'm dumb. I just don't understand it. I don't understand how you can go underneath the ocean, build a bridge, and never once have any complications with that. I just can't understand that. I think sometimes about life, we look at our circumstances, and we don't understand it, and we think it's beyond God's control, it's beyond repair. And God says, why don't you just look up for a moment? And you may not understand how all those stars got there and why the earth orbits the way that it does and how everything's on a time synchronization, but I want you to understand something. I know how it works because I am in control of it. And as long as that pilot knows how everything's working, I'm going to trust him. As long as those bridge builders and tunnel builders are doing well, I'm just going to trust him. We need to understand that when things are difficulty, just look up to the heavens. And the Bible says, even by the stars themselves, we know that God is greater than anything in our life. I love what the Scripture says in Psalm 147 and verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. There's this little fad going on now. Buy a Christmas gift for your loved one. Name a star after them. $499. Swipe that Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, and we'll send you a certificate in the mail. You may never see that star, but trust us, we've named it after you. That sounds like a good Christmas gift. I'm going to buy you a star this year. Please don't buy me a star. I don't want one, all right? God literally has named the stars. He knows the number of the stars. He calls them by their name. He numbered them. He knows them. And he says here in verse 26 that not one of them has been overlooked. Look at it in verse 26. And not one faileth. That means as he counts the billions and billions and billions of stars, he never missed one. He never skipped over one. And God has as many names that he can ever think of to apply to every star that he's created. And we think that God is not big enough to handle our little financial crisis. And we think that God is not great enough to put our family back together. And we think that God is not great enough to save those family members and heal our marriage. And listen, God says, you ever start doubting me for one moment, look up to the stars of heaven. I've named them, I've numbered them, and I've not overlooked a one of them. And I'm not overlooking you tonight either. I'm glad that God doesn't overlook me, aren't you? He is great. The same God whose greatness numbers and names the stars can heal your weaknesses. He can help your circumstances. He goes on. I read Psalm 147 and verse 4 a few moments ago where it says, he telleth the number of the stars and he calleth them by names. But notice what he said in verse 3, the verse before. He said, he healeth the brokenhearted and he bindeth up their wounds. And in just in case you don't think God can heal you or bind up your wounds, understand, I'm so great, I number the stars and I name them. And he says in verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Someone has said circumstances are those nasty things you see when you get your eyes off God. Did you get that? Circumstances are those nasty things you see when you get your eyes off God. He says, lift up, verse 26. Lift up your eye on high and hope in the greatness of God. Number two, when we're weak, when we're struggling, not only should we hope in the greatness of God, but we should hope in the sovereignty of God. Hope in the sovereignty of God. Now, when we come to verse 27, we see the nation of Israel was doing something that we often are tempted to do. They've been doing it for years. We're still doing it today. They were complaining and acting as if God did not know their situation nor care about their problems. We are so guilty of that same mentality. Act as if God is not aware. Pout as if God does not care. Look at verse 27. He had just reminded them of His greatness and how He focuses on the stars. And if He focuses on the stars, look at what He said in verse 27. Then why sayest thou, O Jacob or Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord, and that my judgment is passed over from my God? He said, if I care that much about the stars, then why in the world would you think for one moment that I've overlooked your problem? Why would you think for one moment as if I don't care about your situation? Here they are, they're complaining that God disregarded their calls and that He did not deliver them from their difficulties and trials. And how often we do this? We would never stand up and verbally criticize God or complain against His discernment or tell people we don't think God doesn't care. But often we think that in our hearts. And He says, listen, you need to trust in my sovereignty and that I am aware and that I am in control. And if I put that much attention to the heavens and the earth, I'm going to give you that much attention as well. Hope in the sovereignty of God. You see, God is sovereignly aware of all that's taking place in this world. And if He is sovereignly aware, hey, He already knows who's going to win the election Tuesday. And He ain't worried about it. They can debate it all they want, who's up, who's down, what the Electoral College is going to be. Hey, God's just sitting up and says, I already know how this is going to turn out. And I think he might be wearing the right color tie today, too. I'm not sure, but I think he might be. But if God is sovereignly aware of all that is taking place in this world, then you better believe, my friend, He is sovereignly aware of everything going on in your life. I remember listening to preaching as a kid, and then preachers get up. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And boy, they preach about how God sees everything. He sees every text message you send out, and He sees every email you send, and He sees every time you pick your nose when nobody else is watching, you know, and I get scared to death. But our God is not this judging being just seeing every time we do wrong. He sees everything. He saw that delinquent bill. He heard that heart-wrenching conversation you just had with someone on the phone. He's aware of it. He hears the same rumors you're hearing where you work right now about layoffs. He knows what's going on. And if He is sovereignly aware of these things, you better believe God is compassionately concerned about how they affect our life. What do I do, Pastor? There's only one thing you can do. Hope in His sovereignty. Trust His control. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You know what's amazing to me? He's not only sovereignly aware, He's sovereignly in control. And with all that God is going on, another thing I don't understand about life, I can't understand it. It's because I'm just a finite mind. He's infinite. I can't understand how God can be everywhere all the time and know everything that's going on in every person, 6 billion people in the world, 7 billion almost. He knows everything going on every moment of life. I can't understand that. I can't comprehend that. But you look at the agenda that God has, He's a busy being. Got a lot on His plate. And here's what's wonderful. Look at that, verse 26. He never gets exhausted. The Bible says, look at verse 28, I'm sorry. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not. He never quits. He never gets up. He never goes to sleep. Look at it. Neither is He weary. In other words, He never gets tired. He's never exhausted. He is never too busy to be concerned about what's going on in your life. I'm thankful today. When I can't understand, I can hope in His sovereignty. And know that He never gets tired of helping. He's never too exhausted to see what's going on in my life. He's never too busy to meet the need. I can hope in the greatness of God. I can hope in the sovereignty of God. Number three, let me encourage you tonight that in these difficult moments of life when the circumstances are raging around you and you're weak physically and mentally and spiritually and all these things, I want to encourage you to hope in the strengthening of God. Hope in the strengthening of God. Now listen to me. God wants to strengthen you in the day of weakness. That's His desire. Look at it in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. Look right here. That's those who are tired. That have no might, no strength. That's those who are weak. That's mamas that are about to pull their hair out because their kids won't leave them alone. That's some of you businessmen that are so tired of traveling here and working on this job and here. I was thinking just this week about how the devil, and I believe it was the devil, trying to keep people away from revival. I mean, they had Brother Ron over here traveling all over the world this week and helping with all this stuff. And then Brian had a job over out of town in Arkansas, had to get on a plane and go. Not only that, they canceled his flight, trying to keep him away and all these type of things. I believe the devil's as much as in that as anything. These men no doubt come church tired. All of us came to church tired today, I believe. We've had revival all week. Some of you had a revival Sunday, or we started back with the youth rally Saturday through Thursday night. And we had rehearsal dinner Friday night, and then a wedding on Saturday, and then church on Sunday. I mean, some of us, our wagons are dragging tonight. And I'm thankful. But the truth of the matter is, when I'm that weak, I don't have to look to a 5-hour energy drink to get me restored. I'm not preaching against it. I'm just saying. I enjoy coffee. I enjoy those things. But I have a God who wants to replenish me. I have a God that wants to restore me. I have a God that wants to strengthen me. He says, to them that have no might, He increaseth their strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what's interesting about our text tonight is that God's promise is to strengthen us like the eagle. Now, I for one am glad He wants to strengthen us like an eagle, because He could have picked any animal He wanted to right there. The truth of the matter is, He could have looked at some of the folks in our church and said, I'm going to strengthen you like a turkey. Aren't you glad He's not strengthening us like a turkey? He doesn't say that when we hope in Him, He's going to give us strength like a crow or strength like a vulture or even a chicken. I almost entitled the message, are you strengthened like a, or weakened like a chicken or strengthened like an eagle? God says, when you're weak, I want to give you the strength of an eagle. I think that's important. Because we understand the eagle is the king of the skies. Not a vulture, not a buzzard. I never forget one Sunday after shortly becoming the pastor, about a year gone by. And Brother Jimmy was outside doing the parking lot that morning. He said, preacher, I want to come show you something. I don't know if this is a good sign or if you need to preach a little harder this morning. But up on the steeple, there was about 3 or 4 buzzards just chopping away. I said, are they trying to say we're dead? I mean, what's going on here? I'm glad that when the Lord gives us strength, He wants to give us strength like an eagle. the King of the skies. That golden symbol of courage and freedom. I'm not preaching a message on the eagle tonight, but I do want to give you a few facts. The eagle has a 7-foot wingspan. One of the interesting things about an eagle is that it has keen eyesight. We often say about someone who looks at something sharp, they have an eagle eye. We use that phrase, eagle eye, because they're keenly aware. They have keen eyesight. It's said that eagles can spot prey at even 2 miles of distance. I don't know who was flying with that eagle that day when they determined that, but I'm going to trust that as a fact to be true. It's said that eagles fly at a speed of 200 miles per hour, and they soar. They glide at altitudes of 2,500 feet. It's even been proven that eagles have the strength to just glide. I'm not talking about just flying through. They can glide through even winds as strong as hurricane force winds. And God says, that's the kind of strength I want to give you. That is, the eagle can glide through hurricane force winds, that when the winds of trouble are surrounding you, when the circumstances are difficult, when you're getting tired, I want to give you the strength like an eagle to just glide through that hurricane. To just soar through that tumultuous experience. I want to give you wings like eagles. I want you to know that God desires to strengthen you to soar like an eagle. And that strength that God gives, He mentioned several things. I don't think I put these in your notes, but if you want to write them down, I believe it's an inward strength. Look at what He said in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He's speaking of an inward strength to keep on going. A strength that needs to be renewed. I've watched people go through travesties in life and difficulties. And people ask them, how do you have the strength to even cope with such a difficult experience? And there's only one explanation for that. That's the renewed inner strength that the Lord can give us to wake up another day and face the dark clouds ahead. It's a renewed strength, a strength that we often lose from time to time, a strength that is zapped out of us. And the weakness often takes over. God says, I want to give you that kind of strength, an inward strength, but it's also an upward strength. He says, I want to mount you up with wings as eagles. I'm not a bird extraordinaire, but I do understand that there is a time in the old age in the life of an eagle that it will lose its wings. And they go through a process where they get a new set of feathers. They tell us that an eagle will often do this through water. It will dip down into the water where it loses their old feathers that are coming off. And by the time they come back out of that water, it begins the new process of growing a fresh set of feathers, new wings. And that's what He's talking about here. He says, I want to give you an upward strength. I want to mount you up with a new, fresh set of wings. Some of you have been flapping them wings for a long time. The winds that have been raging around your life in recent days, you feel like those wings, those feathers are being blown away. But the wonderful thing is, God says, I'll strengthen you like the eagle. I'll give you a new set of wings. I'll refresh those feathers. I'll mount you up with wings as eagles. And then it's an outward strength. Notice what He said in verse 31. They shall run and not be weary. I often have good intentions about my weight loss. It bothers me that I've put on 35 pounds since I've been your pastor. That either says two things. I am losing self-control, or you are really a bunch of good cooks. It does bother me. I've thought of so many ways here recently. I need to start running here. But the problem is, when I start running, I get really weary easy. I do one lap around and I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go home and eat a Snicker bar or something, you know? And don't laugh at me. You do the same thing. We buy a treadmill. We tell our husbands, buy me a treadmill for Christmas. We get on it one time and then it becomes a new place for a clothes hanger, right? I know. We all do it. Men and women both. Get tired. I've here recently thought, this has nothing to do with our trip to San Francisco this summer, but I have recently thought about buying a bicycle and start riding it around. But I promise you, I will not embarrass you if I do that. Maybe I thought, maybe since I get so tired running, if I just had a place to sit and work out at the same time. You understand my thinking here? Maybe not as much work. But one of the reasons why we don't exert ourselves in so much energy is because it just tires us out. We get weary. And the Bible says God wants to strengthen us in weakness so much that we can run and not get tired. Run and not get weary. It's an outward strength. And then he mentions an onward strength. Verse 31, they shall walk and not faint. It's the strength to keep going and never give up. And God only asked us to do one thing in order to receive that strength. Look at it one more time in verse 31. He asked us to wait upon the Lord. To hope in Him. To trust in Him. And as we wait on the Lord, He enables us to fly higher. He enables us to run faster and walk longer. Just as He strengthens the eagle. I don't know what your weakness is tonight, but I know we all encounter them from time to time. Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. Whatever your circumstance is, I want to encourage you. And look right here as we close. Wait on the Lord. Yes, you need to be patient. You don't need to rush God, but it's more than just being patient. It's hoping in Him. It's having confidence in Him. It's trusting Him. Whatever be in front of you, hope in God. Get a fresh glimpse of His greatness. That if He is great enough to name and number the stars in the sky, surely He is great enough to handle our problems. Get a fresh glimpse of His sovereignty. That He indeed is in control. He's not lost control. The problems in our world, in our lives today are not beyond His concern. He is in control and He has the power at the snap of a finger to put it all right back in place. And get a fresh glimpse of His strengthening. That when you are weak, God will replenish you and renew you and give you the strength to soar like an eagle, to glide in hurricane-force winds if you'll simply hope and trust and wait in Him. A wonderful, powerful verse. Really a powerful passage.